or back.
Item 776, Arts Affordability Progress Report.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. In February of last year, the council adopted an arts affordability plan. I have a copy in my hand. A set of recommended actions to protect and preserve the arts and artists who make Portland special. In the almost 18 months since then, we have been hard at work turning these recommendations into action. Joining us this afternoon are Jamie Dunphy, Senior Policy Director in my office, Tracy Schreiber, who is completing an 11-month Arts Affordability Fellowship focused on implementing the plan, and Pollyann Faith Burge, Arts and Culture Policy Director for Commissioner Udaly. Jamie, take it away.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jamie Dunphy. It's a pleasure to be back here in front of you today. 18 months ago, I sat in this chair and outlined 24 recommendations to preserve Portland's art scene. Those recommendations were not aspirational. They were a roadmap. Since then, we've tackled many items in this plan. We've been opportunistic when new ideas were presented, and we've learned a lot. We're so thankful to the hundreds of artists, nonprofits, developers, businesses, and leaders across the city who share our values and who have partnered with us. Before we share our outcomes of our work, I want to flag three important things that have happened in the arts in the last year. First, last summer, Auditor Hull Caballero released the first ever audit of the Regional Arts and Culture Council. Her report gave us guidance about how to strengthen the city's relationship with RAC. Clearer goals, clearer lines of responsibility, clearer lines of communication, clearer accountability, and clearer leadership from the city. The audit's recommendations aligned with our arts affordability agenda, and we worked with the mayor to quickly add the role of a city arts manager in the Office of Finance, Management and Finance, or OMF. This position will be key to ensuring the continued success of our work with RAC. Second, as part of his bureau reassignments last September, the mayor asked Commissioner Udaly to serve as the arts commissioner. Polly and the commissioner's office have been very collaborative partners. Third, and finally, RAC announced last November that Madison Cario would be the organization's next executive director. Madison has been a great partner in our early work together. So what have we been up to and what have we accomplished? We have a number of exciting updates for you today. Our first victory came before the plan was even adopted. During the hearing last February, Commissioner Udaly, as Bureau of Development Services Commissioner in charge, announced the creation of a small business and arts liaison team tasked with getting to yes. The team would help small businesses, artists, and other small organizations navigate their way through the city's permitting requirements. It was really heartening to have one of our recommendations checked off before the hearing was even over, and it gave us momentum. From there, we went to work. That June, we hosted a roundtable of all of the campus institutions in the city, including PCC, PSU, University of Portland, the University of Oregon, Oregon State University, Lewis and Clark, Merrillhurst, PNCA, the Oregon College of Arts and Crafts, OHSU, and Legacy Emanuel. We held the meeting to better understand the challenges that they face in creating opportunities for public art. And what we learned in that meeting was that they were doing far more than we imagined, but their challenges were far greater than we expected. In the months that followed, Merrillhurst University closed, the Oregon College of Arts and Crafts closed, PCC lost its dance program, and Lewis and Clark shuttered its art gallery. While the challenges they face are daunting, that roundtable fostered important introductions and learning.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. I'm Pollyann Burge, and in May of 2018, the Space Finder website officially launched in Portland, thanks in no small part to the hard work of Teresa Koberstein. This resource is a great first step to creating an inventory of publicly accessible creative spaces in Portland, and we are doing more. This year, thank you, Mayor Wheeler's budget funded the first step in a future cultural mapping project. This will give us a tool to show us what we do and don't have good access to art and where we should target our investments. Thank you all for supporting this request.
And hello, I'm Tracy Schreiber with Commissioner Fish's office.
When I started this fellowship, I worked with my colleagues to identify action items that I could deliver on in my short time at City Hall. My first project was inspired by, but not directly from, the list of recommendations. Working with a handful of small and medium-sized arts organizations, we identified a gap in how we permit arts events. I worked with the Fire Bureau and Development Services to create a new type of permit. The annual permit for temporary arts and cultural events allows for more frequent and bigger events and performances and will make a real difference to artists, cutting costs and red tape. Next, we announced 6 space grants, free use of parks facilities in exchange for community access to art. The idea was simple. We have space, but we don't use it all the time, so let's let artists use it. We awarded 6 grants to an exciting and diverse group of artists. A musician working with incarcerated youth statewide, a collective advancing the voices of underrepresented groups through a multimedia podcast, 2 groups who create art with community to deepen their understanding of Black history in Portland, a young actor and poet focused on the Japanese-American experience and power dynamics, and a group celebrating queer people of color in theater. And that was just the first class. Then we looked at the code for 2% for art and made 2 key changes. Under city code, major construction projects must dedicate 2% of construction costs to public art. Since these projects historically happen downtown, we have amazing public art all throughout the downtown core, but we don't have enough of it elsewhere. The first change was to formally disconnect the place where the art goes from where the building is built. The second change redefines public art. There are lots of ways for art to serve the community. Now, building out creative space with 2% dollars is allowed. This new flexibility makes the program and more versatile. For example, parks can include a stage or a culturally specific space in every new park. PBOT can build supportive structure and support in the right-of-way to enhance mobile opportunities for activities and performances. Large projects could include an art gallery and offer rotating exhibitions to elevate community and artists. We're excited to see what future projects bring. At the Parks Bureau, we're exploring ways to invest capital dollars in existing spaces to allow for greater use. We are focused on our anchor community centers, which often have underused athletic space and outdated audiovisual equipment. Soon, we hope to bring an updated SDC project list to Council. It will include things like acoustic tiling and sound systems to expand the capacity of these community hubs. They will be more accessible for more purposes and more people. At the same time, we will also propose a small change in SDC code to clarify that mobile facilities are eligible. As our city continues to grow, we'll be able to expand our system in new and creative ways, like an art truck that parks will use to bring creative programming to neighborhoods around the city, especially places that don't have easy access to a neighborhood park. We have also prioritized opportunities to create culturally specific creative space. 2 examples are the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, or IFCC, and the Hillblock development. Both of these projects have their own unique challenges and long history of starts and stops. But a team of dedicated volunteers has been meeting regularly about the future of IFCC, and plans are beginning to solidify. The working group for the future Hillblock development at North Russell and Williams also presents a major opportunity for investment. Joy Elise Davis of PALF, the Portland African American Leadership Forum, is a member of this group, and we have had conversations about realizing the goals set out in PALF's People's Plan for culturally specific art space.
The Arts Affordability Plan has inspired conversations and ideas that we never dreamed of while we were putting the list of recommendations together. Around the time that Council accepted our report, we were approached by Musicians Union Local 99. I see Bruce in the back there. Shout out to Bruce. Music Portland, Vortex Magazine, and others about a small change that makes a big difference. Thanks to their advocacy and partnership between Commissio Daily and Fish, Portland now has 11 musician loading zones where musicians with a free permit can load their musical equipment into a club without fear of getting a parking ticket that costs probably more than what they're getting paid for the gig. Often the best ideas come directly from the community, and sometimes it's the little things that make the biggest difference. 2 other examples of kind of a surprising conversations. The organization WeWork announced their own artist in residence program, giving 4 artists space, time, and technical expertise to become more economically stable. And thanks in part to our arts concierge teams at the Bureau of Development Services, the Portland Institute of Contemporary Arts, or PICA, has expanded opportunities for other artists to use their space, including the Friends of Noise, All Ages Music Organization, or the Artist Repertory Theater during their major reconstruction.
In the Foster Powell neighborhood, the 100-year-old Day Theater, which formerly screened silent films, recently went up for sale. But it needed a lot of work. After more than a year of trying to develop an arts collaborative to purchase the building, I wasn't able to make the pieces come together. But then the team from Aporta stepped in and purchased the building. They're working with me and the city now to bring the theater back to life, revitalizing the arts deep in deep Southeast Portland. Other property owners are stepping up too. I had a tour of Killian Pacific's building near the east end of the Hawthorne Bridge. There's a beautiful building that was built in the husk of a former warehouse that burned down more than a decade ago. They paid tribute to the graffiti and the street art that had naturally developed over years of neglect, and they built it into the fabric of their building. They recognized that it's good business to incorporate art into their office buildings, that it makes their tenants happier to be there, and it's good for their bottom line. Working with the Portland Housing Bureau, we now include language in affordable housing development solicitations that preferences developers who include creative space in their buildings. And we work closely with the team at Prosper Portland on their affordable commercial space initiative to ensure that the two ideas are complementary. We've had a productive partnership with Prosper Portland, especially around the recommendation about short-term leases in buildings that are in queue for development. The prime example and the biggest opportunity seemed to be the post office site at the west end of the Broadway Bridge. Thousands of square feet of perfectly usable office space, ready for a painter, a potter, a dancer, or a writer. But due diligence showed that the building was simply unusable. It wasn't unsafe, and it didn't meet building code. But out of that, and thanks to the team at Prosper Portland, we're now looking across the street over at Union Station, just on the other side of Northwest Broadway. This facility, long underused and in drastic need of higher use, is an excellent opportunity for the right tenants, and we're working to get Creative Space up and running soon. We've incorporated Creative Space into council-approved buildings, including the Fremont Place Apartments near Centennial Mills and the ODOT Blocks development in the Central East Side. Not everything in the plan was a hit. Some recommendations, when we dug in a little deeper, just weren't worth pursuing. One example is recommendation number 8, establishing a creative space definition in the mixed-use zoning code. Working with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, it became clear that the zoning code would allow for creative space, but the challenge was really in state building code, and that would require a change in Salem. Another example had to do with the challenge of creating new gallery space. This was a pretty technical problem based in the difference between an assembly space and an occupancy. In Seattle, this was a clear problem, preventing the creation of new spaces. And that problem exists to some extent in Portland, but wasn't widespread enough to really affect the industry more broadly, so it wasn't worth the effort to pursue. In some cases, the win was a new relationship between people with property and artists who need access to it. Here are two more examples. Charlene Zeidel, an advisor on our Arts Affordability Plan, is deeply dedicated to the arts. We hope that conversations with her and the Zeidel development team will eventually lead to a strong arts component in the built-out Zeidel yards. Across town, a developer in Kenton faced a challenge programming the commercial space in an affordable housing mixed-use development. We worked with them to explore the possibility of matching them with an arts group, and we weren't able to make it work, but other people know about that discussion, and the arts are on the radar of the development community in a way they've never been. We're proud about this progress and of the interest our community has shown about being part of this work.
So, what's next? 4 big ideas we will continue to pursue include a real estate investment model focused on the arts. This will require a strong community partner with expertise and capacity. If something like this could be stood up, we would look for ways to modify the city property disposition process so that we could contribute surplus property. Arts districts to recognize unique and vibrant creative neighborhoods. There are shining examples in North and Southeast Portland. Regional partnerships and coordination. We want to work with our colleagues in the region, and discussions we've hosted have forged important relationships. We don't know what fruit this will bear, but we're excited. Increased private and foundation philanthropy. This is the key to success in other cities, and Portland is overdue. Government cannot support the arts alone. We need to facilitate relationships between the philanthropic community and the creative community and do our best to sustain those connections.
In summary, we're proud of what we've accomplished in fewer than 2 years. But we continue to face big challenges. Artists of all levels of their career are struggling, quitting, or leaving. Housing prices are prohibitive. Music and performance venues are struggling to stay afloat. New developments are changing the character of places where dancers could practice, musicians could rehearse, actors could perform, painters and potters could produce work. So there's a lot of work ahead. Thank you for making arts affordability a priority and for your support. Despite the headwinds, we're showing the creative community that the arts matter and we're working together toward a brighter future. And we're happy to take any questions.
Excellent.
And that concludes our presentation.
I'll go ahead and start.
Please.
Since I'm not the one who brought this report today. So I'll take that privilege. First of all, thank you for a very, very clear presentation. And I just want to say, given the number of items that were on this checklist, and what did you say, Jamie? It was just 18 months ago that we saw this for the first time. And I remember that presentation. We had a lot of public discussion about it. I remember thinking this is a very ambitious list. And I wondered how quickly you'd be able to get through some of these items, because a lot of them require a tremendous amount of work. So first, I just want to give you a shout out.
Thank you.
And accolades for the number of items that you've carefully analyzed. I also appreciate it when people come back before the council and say, look, this was a really good idea, but for reasons A, B, or C, it just didn't pan out the way we thought it would. Mm-hmm. So I've scratched a few of these off my list, and I take your word for it, and I appreciate that. There were two items you mentioned that really intrigued me. The first was the idea of an arts district. Could you flesh that out
a little
bit more?
You know, in many ways, it could be more, it could be what we need, whatever we want it to. There are good examples of arts districts where sometimes it's a branding opportunity only. And for a district to call themselves the entertainment district or the, you know, the dance district or whatever it might be, there are other cities that just use it as a branding opportunity and they run with it. And you see it on the street signs and you see it on, you know, paintings on the roads. It could be something as simple as that. It could also be that there are already naturally existing clusters and areas where the arts are already accumulating and artists are able to afford to live, and we want to be able to give them more opportunities to maybe take ownership of the built environment around them and see what that looks like. Trying to find maybe opportunities for flexibility in how we do public events or how we do permitting for things that maybe don't quite fit the mold that would be beneficial for artists, but not for anybody else. So it really could be anything, and what we would really need more than anything is a dedicated set of community partners to help us figure out who would want to be that and why, and how we can help make that better for them.
Okay. And so should we expect a proposal at some point, or is this something that's still being worked through?
That one is still a ways down the road. It's one we are going to be looking at in the next 18 months.
Okay, and I won't push you too much on this, but the connection between philanthropy and the creative community, this is something that I've always noted is a glaring difference between the city of Portland and, say, San Francisco or Seattle or Albuquerque even, and other communities. We really don't have the depth of philanthropic base. And it's not like we don't have the resources in this community. We definitely have the resources, but we haven't been able to figure out yet, working with philanthropy and working with other institutions in the community, how to cultivate those resources and invest them in the things that we'd love to see philanthropists invest in. So if you see a role for us, you know, that's something that's always been interesting to me. The last time you came before the council, you talked about this notion of arts pods in public spaces. And of course, since then, we've had all this discussion about the food pods and the food carts, and we want to preserve the things we really like about Portland that are somewhat unique to our brand. And the food carts are certainly part of that, and the art pods fits in neatly with that conversation. Is there an intersection yet between all these different conversations and the work that PBOT's doing under Commissioner Udaly and the work that we're doing under some of our permitting and planning bureaus?
So we've actually started conversations between the Parks Bureau and PBOT and have even developed a high-level vision of what that could look like between our two bureaus, Parks being able to create mobile facilities, PBOT being able to promote infrastructure within our rights-of-ways to support mobile facilities, which would be like the pod. So we're working towards a pilot of an art truck in parks to demonstrate the value of a mobile pod of that sort, and the pod can really be anything.
And we're also very open to working with an art group or a nonprofit that may be interested in building something similar to a food cart pod, if they were looking to create more of the Saturday market feel but make it a little bit more permanent. That's not something we can directly lead on, but if there's anyone in the community who's listening to this and is interested in pursuing something like that, I'm certainly available to start fleshing that out.
Well, it's interesting, and my colleagues have obviously been prime movers in this, but how this ties to the conversation we had this morning around free walls.
Yep.
And some of the conversations around murals and the codes that we have in place for very good reasons, but they sometimes come into conflict with I guess what I'll just describe as the freedom of artistic freedom.
Yeah.
And so there's a really cool tie in here. Sorry, I think that completes my questioning. I just want to give a shout out to my colleagues, and I want to give a shout out to all of you. I really appreciate the work that you're doing on this. I think it's visionary, and I look forward to continuing to work with you in whatever capacity I can as mayor and have my bureaus be engaged as fully as possible.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor?
Commissioner Fish.
So thank you very much for the presentation. There's a part in the presentation where you talked about being opportunistic and seizing things that come along, and I think that's right. And I also appreciate the emphasis you've placed in your report on opportunities that you pursued but didn't pan out.
Yep.
One of the things I learned when I first got elected to public life is that we're not allowed to publicly admit our failings. One of the great books I ever read was the biography of Steve Jobs, and it might have been titled My History of Failure and How I Became Successful Through It. And the book is like chapter upon chapter of missteps and failures and misjudgments, which ultimately led to perfection. But in his world, he was given the space to make mistakes, to overreach, to fail. And out of that came a collective wisdom that informed really one of the great companies and company stories in our history. I'm being a little facetious, but we're not really supposed to acknowledge when we fall short. Mm-hmm. I think actually we need to do that more. First of all, I think it's honest. I think people appreciate that. And second, how else are we to learn unless we do along the way stumble? That all the great lessons in my life have come to me through trial and error. Why shouldn't that be in government? So I appreciate that you have highlighted some of the areas where we fell a little short. I want to drill down a little bit and a couple of points because I think they're really important. First of all, we are seeing very robust systems development charges coming into the city right now. And I spoke to a reputable builder recently who said he foresees about two more years at least of a building boom in Portland. Now, we can argue about what the positive and negative impacts of that building boom are on our community, but one positive is they generate developer fees, which we can then use for good purposes. And I really love the idea of taking some of those so-called systems development charges and investing them in our community centers so that our sound systems are upgraded, our stages are upgraded, and we can do more performances in our community centers. That seems like an easy win, and it has my full support. Bruce Fife is here. He confirmed with me at the beginning of the hearing that the 11 musicians loading zones that Commissioner Udaly and PBOT put in place have been a success. Now the question is, do we expand it? Can we put it in some other places? Is it? Have we demonstrated that it's working and should be expanded? I have to say, we use the formula of it's a small idea with a big impact, but that really minimizes the amount of work that PBOT put into this to make it happen.
Right.
And it's an example of where two bureaus or two commissioners or two leaders up here working together can really move the ball. So I was very appreciative of that. I want to plant a seed with my colleagues, because we, in passing, and it's on the cheat sheet that was handed out, in passing, we referenced the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. I don't want to leave anyone with a misimpression here. This is going to be a very big lift. The existing building is a unreinforced masonry building, and so there are there is going to be at some point a cost-benefit analysis looking at the great history and legacy of that building that Charles Jordan helped save, and thinking about the next 100 years. And one of the questions is, does it continue at the existing building or new building? And that will be informed by a lot of questions that we can't answer right now because we don't have all the data. But Mayor, if we are to take IFCC, which has such a great legacy in that community, and if we are somehow able to marry it with the work that you're doing with the Housing Bureau around right of return and culturally sensitive development in Inner Northeast, I think there is a big idea about bringing housing and the arts to that site. And I hope in the next year or two that Prosper Portland, the Parks Bureau, and the Housing Bureau can collaboratively work together to figure out what is that big vision for IFCC. Because I don't think any one of us can fund it, but I think we all bring tools to the table, which is important. I have heard nothing but positive feedback about the arts concierge position that Commissioner Daly put into place and now continues at the Bureau of Development Services. And that's a little bit of a back to the future issue, because once upon a time there was someone who did that job, and a lot of people we know, like Ken Unkless and Al Solheim and others, relied on that person's accumulated wisdom. Then we lost that position, and now we're restoring that position, which I think is very important. And then finally, I want to emphasize another thing that we can do as leaders that won't show up on this chart, but is an example of where, on a light touch, we can make a difference. A number of years ago, Northwest Dance Project had identified a studio on the other side of the river where they wanted to move, and there was a big zoning problem. And in fact, because of the zoning code, it appeared that it would cost them too much to retrofit the building. Well, a number of people got involved at the city and on the private side, and some talented lawyers and some problem solvers at the city, and ultimately found an exemption that applied to that building, which is now home to Northwest Dance Project and all the work they're doing. PICA was very fortunate to have deep pockets on its board, and now they have a home at 15 Hancock. One of the things that I think we need to be thinking about is, as we do a scan of arts organizations, how can we help them plan for the next generation? And for many of them, that means how do they control their own destiny? How do they control the land? One of the organizations we've been having some informal conversations with is Milagro. Milagro finds itself a property owner in the middle of one of the hottest districts in the city, the Central East Side, with a zoning code that allows them to develop the site and potentially have creative uses, a new theater, and a way to pay for it. That won't show up as one of our arts affordability wins at some point. But there have already been a number of conversations about how might we, working with a bunch of different partners, help Milagro down that path. Because if this may be the perfect time for them to seize the opportunity of leveraging what they have, and what they have that's golden is they own the dirt underneath their theater. And they have an opportunity to leverage that with this real estate boom and create a permanent home. So those are sort of ad hoc comments, but I really appreciate the work you've done. I appreciate this handout, which shows the progress we've made. And I also want to say that in my 10 years on the council, I've never have remembered a time when so much negative displaced the positive in our community conversations. It almost seems like something's gotten into our water system. And it has turned otherwise optimistic people into pessimists. It has caused people to go from yes but to no but. My emails reflect it. My colleagues get the same emails, which are unduly charged instead of engaging public officials around problems. I have my own theory about how we got here, and I'll spare you my theory. But we have so much to celebrate, and the mayor mentioned that this morning when he said there are so many good things happening in this city. I was at a ribbon cutting recently for the new Halperin open space sequence. You could say that that masterwork by Lawrence Halperin is one of the most important arts installations in our city. And I was so excited about it, I took my wife there this weekend, and we walked from Keller to Source. And here's something interesting. Early on a Saturday morning, there were lots of people out. There were people walking it. And I ran into a couple of crews from my Parks Bureau, and they were so appreciative that that the investment had been made to reclaim the sequence so that the work that they did was maintaining a gem, not always feeling like they were up against it and they were losing the battle. We've made a commitment at Parks to put extra resources into preserving the work that's been done. That started in 2012. It took time. It took public and private resources, over $4 million. But what it's going to lead to is the revitalization of the South Auditorium District. And I think in the next couple of years, Mayor, there will be a very compelling argument to be made for rebranding the whole district around the Fountain District and celebrating really the great masterwork that Lawrence Halperin gave us. So let's celebrate the wins. Let's acknowledge where we fall short. But let's not forget that Portland is still doing interesting and great things because of the people who live here. And I'm proud to play a small role.
Hear, hear.
Commissioner Udaly?
Thanks for the presentation, everyone. I think I feel a little bit silly because I feel like I've already said all of this in front of almost everyone in this room, but for the...
I don't remember it.
Okay, yeah. The mayor never listens to me, but... For those watching, and I guess for posterity, I'll just...
I listen, but as you know, it takes me three times, right? Three times.
Okay. All right. Duly noted. I'll just add a few remarks. The issue of arts affordability is very personal to me. As a former creative small business owner, the co-founder of a literary nonprofit, and someone who's been immersed in Portland's arts and culture community... Now you're listening too hard. For decades, I know that affordability is this invisible but completely essential ingredient to our vibrant and diverse arts community. And I've said this before as well, Portland has built its brand on our creative communities, but we haven't done nearly enough to protect or support their continued ability or the continued ability of artists to live, create, and present their work. And we haven't been equitably distributing the limited resources we've allotted to arts funding, which is something that didn't come up today, but I wanted to note. I'm particularly happy about the key changes we made to the 2% for art and that we funded a comprehensive cultural mapping project. This Arts Affordability Progress Report shows that we are making progress toward achieving both equity and affordability in the arts and identifying gaps and opportunities in our city. I want to also thank Commissioner Fish for all the shout-outs and acknowledgments. Sometimes I don't even realize what I'm doing. It's just my job.
You have a good staff, too.
I do. Yes, I do. I'll get to that in a moment. So I want to express my support for the City Arts Program recommendation to initiate a regional cultural planning process to be completed in 2022. I recently found out our last cultural plan was completed. Does anybody know? You guys aren't allowed to weigh in. Do you know what year it was completed? 1992. George H.W. Bush was president. I was 22 years old. My rent was about $100 a month, and many of the talented artists working in our city today hadn't been born yet. I hope we can all agree that it's time for a new plan. Based on similar plans in other cities, we estimate the cost of this planning process, regional planning process, to be around $400,000. a significant sum, but small relative to the contribution that our arts and culture community makes to our local economy, including $330 million in annual economic activity and over 11,000 jobs. Similar-sized regions across the country have engaged in community-driven cultural planning have seen more than a 20% return in economic activity than Portland does now. So clearly we have a lot of unrealized potential, both creative and economic, and we also have a lot to lose if we don't put the time, money, and resources into this vital process. And I'm gonna save my thank yous, I guess, for the final.
So I move the report.
I second it.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any further discussion? We'll call the roll, please, Carla.
Udaly?
Well, thank you to Jamie Dunphy and Tracy Schreiber from Commissioner Fish's office, staff and leadership at the Regional Arts and Cultural Council, who are right back here so quietly, so politing. Do you guys want to, you know, yell or clap or? Yeah. Yeah. No singing telegrams today. Okay. Kristen Calhoun, Helen Del Toso, Jeff Hawthorne, and Madison Cario, our creative laureate, Suba's first name. Ganesan. One day I'll get her last name, Ganesan. And my wonderful arts and culture policy director, Pollyanne Faith Birch, who's sitting right there in case nobody knows, and the dedicated team of stakeholders and contributors and community members who helped shape this first set of recommendations. We have much more to do, so I am very grateful for such dedicated, smart, and enthusiastic collaborators moving this vital work forward. I vote aye.
Fish?
My thanks are the same. Jamie, Tracy, and Pollyanne, thank you very much. And I want to echo what the mayor said. It was an outstanding presentation. And thank you very much. To my colleagues, thank you for your strong support of the arts. And I agree with Commissioner Udaly wholeheartedly. We have a lot more work to do. And I'm reminded that during the teeth of the last recession, the city actually increased funding for arts under Mayor Adams. And so whether we have good times or bad times, I would argue it's a good investment. And we need to continue to keep faith with something that makes Portland special. I want to thank the RAC family for coming out today. It's an embarrassment of riches. I don't even know who's back at home at headquarters running the show, but we've got all the top people, and thank you for your strong partnership. I want to thank Stan Pankin, who's here, formerly of ArtsPAC, one of the tougher questionnaires I remember filling out when I ran for office. And not everyone filled it out, actually, amazingly, but we appreciated the work you did on that. I want to thank Bruce Fife and the musicians. That's an example. The partnership with Bruce Fife and the musicians is just a classic example of what to many of us might seem like a relatively small thing, but where, you know, we can fix it, make a difference in the lives of working musicians, and it's a win-win. So I really appreciate that. Mayor Wheeler, in your budgets to date, you have kept strong funding for the arts. I'm going to be working with Commissioner Udaly to outline a number of things in the next budget that we'd like to see funded. And I think it is very important that we have a regional conversation about the next chapter and that we fund that. But I'm proud to serve on a council that is pro-arts, and I'm really proud of your presentation today. Thank you all. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, this was fun as well as informative. I want to thank Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Udaly for bringing this forward. I want to thank your teams for providing what I think is once again a top flight report. And there's nobody in this room today that I can tell who hasn't had some important role in furthering this work and keeping us focused on what I think is a really great vision for the city of Portland. Portland wouldn't be Portland without the vibrant arts scene that we have here and the cultural scene, speaking more generally. And I'm really excited as I look at the list here of all the really amazing and innovative and I think significant opportunities that we have ahead. None of them look like they're easy boxes to check. They'll take a lot of time, a lot of energy, and focused resources and funding. But I'm confident that if we continue to work with the leadership we have and the leadership at RAC and all of you, we can accomplish much of this. And that will continue to put arts front and center in our community. So I'm really pleased with the work you've all done. I love this report. Keep up the great work. Let me know how I can be a good leader in this effort. And you've provided some thoughts. The cultural mapping, I was happy to help with that. The Hill Block, we're pushing forward on that. And I think there's a great opportunity and an intersection here. Obviously, the work with Prosper Portland, not just at the Union Station, although that's significant. Obviously, as we develop the Broadway corridor, as we look at the ODOT blocks in the Central East Side, I still have my fingers crossed with regard to some opportunities with Zidell. And as you all mentioned, Charlene has been a huge proponent, not only that development, if we can reach the right agreement, but also a huge proponent of the arts. And so she and her family and others understand the intersections there. And I'm happy to continue the efforts around the arts program manager and the small business arts liaison team. Those are very, very worthy initiatives. So good work, all of you. I'm happy to support. I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thank you. Great report. Good way to end of the day. So we're adjourned.
Great.